Asia. Migration. Visa lottery. Rich parts of Asia are finally attracting migrant workers.
For a lesson in how complaining gets results, look to South Korea. Economists have long warned the country's shrinking working-age population would create a shortfall, but few have moaned about it as assiduously as the business lobby. Finally, their pressure has yielded results. Last year, the quota for E9 visas, which cover non-professional workers, was 120,000, by a wide margin the most ever. This year, the E9 quota will rise to 165,000. The total stock of migrant labour increased by 9% in 2023. This is good news for South Korea. Between 2016 and 2022, its population of foreign labourers stagnated, even as labour shortages grew increasingly severe. Low visa quotas and tough eligibility conditions were only the beginning. Workers who did manage to enter the country had few routes to permanent residency and faced limits on bringing in family members. Belatedly and slowly, barriers are coming down. A new scheme announced in February will let the parents of international students there perform seasonal work in labour-starved rural areas. And more transient workers are being encouraged to stay. In the 2010s, only 400 workers per year were allowed to go from a temporary E9 visa to an indefinitely renewable E74 visa, notes Jonathan Chaloff, a migration specialist at the OECD, a club of mostly rich countries. The cap was raised in 2022 to 2,000, and this year South Korea will let up to 35,000 non-professional migrant workers stay. It is part of a trend. Last year, the stock of migrant labour hit record highs in Japan, Taiwan, and Singapore. Japan's 2 million foreign workers in 2023, a 12% rise from the year before, was nearly triple the number a decade ago. Singapore and Taiwan's foreign workforces are now 7% and 11% bigger than in 2019, respectively. A Taiwanese scheme that came into force in 2022 lets mid-skill migrants with significant work experience become residents. Singapore is loosening limits on low and mid-skill visas for jobs aligned with the country's strategic economic priorities. Singapore shares this aim with Japan, which in 2019 launched a program for letting in specified skilled workers in industries afflicted by shortages, such as nursing. Big differences remain. Immigration is politically contentious in parts of Asia. Many in Japan and South Korea still prize homogeneity. By contrast, Singapore is a proudly multi-ethnic society. In Taiwan, the president has avowed the need to protect its multicultural heritage. These differences are visible in labour market data. The foreign workforce's share in South Korea and Japan, at 3% of each of their total labour forces, is much smaller than in Taiwan at 7% or Singapore at 39%. Is the recent momentum grounds for hope? The scale of the problem is daunting. To stabilise long-run growth, South Korea must raise the foreign share of its workforce to 15% over the next four decades, argues Michael Clemens, an economist, in a recent paper. Our back-of-the-envelope calculations suggest the foreign workforce would have to expand around 4% a year for 40 years to meet Mr. Clemens's mark. This will be hard, but there is room for hope. It grew 3.3% annually over the past decade due to strong growth in the 2010s. A state think tank in Japan reckons it needs an additional 2.1 million foreign workers by 2030. That implies an 11% annual expansion, in line with the rate Japan achieved in the past decade. But this numerical exercise understates how hard sustaining high inflows of people will be. As rich Asia competes for workers, they may become harder to attract. Many migrant workers' countries of origin, including Indonesia and China, are themselves ageing. And an anti-immigrant backlash could increase. Indeed, a recent Taiwanese plan to bring in more Indian workers sparked demonstrations.